Welcome to the last Wednesday of the week video. Yes, as many listeners and regular listeners will know, Simon is not with us again this week. He has chosen to abandon us in favour of his NFL duties on shutdown coverage later this week with their mock draft. You can find out more details on the Twitter account at Shutdown Cover. And at Wednesday Pod. But Ben and I jumped on that opportunity to A, show you, our listeners, our wonderful faces again. No, wait, show our wonderful listeners our faces again, but also bring back Paul. Hey, Paul.
All right?
Yes, I'm excellent, actually. How are you?
Well, we've had better races, haven't we? But there you go.
We'll
get to that.
Those who are regular listeners to the pod will know that this is going to be all about Formula One. We, of course, had the race in Imola at the weekend, the Emilia Romagna Grand Prix. I won't say the full length title because I never get it right.
Give it a go. Go on.
I can't even remember it. We're going to get stuck into details out of Imola and some of the broader stories that have been happening. Ben, give us your tweet summary of the weekend just gone. In Formula One.
Listen, 5 years since Formula One was taken by Liberty Media on this merry-go-round. Sometimes I miss Bernie Eccleston. I'm going to be honest. I'm not entirely convinced by the
direction. Right, you've run out of characters.
Okay, 140 going. Characters. Right, jog him on.
He's well over. So your tweet is, I miss Bernie Eccleston.
Well, listen, I don't know if Elon's going to accept that kind of tweet nowadays. I don't know.
There you go. Hashtag bring back Bernie. So the bring back V10's hashtag, there, is it? Yeah, it'll be bring back. Hashtag must bring back Bernie. There's something there. We're not going to get into that. We're going to get into Imola. And speaking of Liberty, of course, since they've taken over, they started to think about the format of the weekend. And Imola was the venue for the first sprint race of 2022. So firstly, Ben, we're generally a bit neutral to flat out not into sprint races. We'll talk a bit about them a bit later on. But we're going to get into the track. We're going to get into Verstappen against Leclerc. We're going to get into Lewis Hamilton. We're going to get into George Russell, Alex Albon, Valtteri Bottas, Kevin Magnussen, the McLarens. Everything's wide open at this stage of the season, and there's a lot to talk about. Let's start with the track, Ben. Your question is there. Is this the track we remember?
Yeah, you sort of, when you see the, at the start of the race, they'll show the previous winners. So they'll go, last five winners of the track, and Schumacher is two of those spots. Obviously, this track goes way back. It's been back on the calendar for a couple of years. Still feels a little bit like a COVID track. And by that, I mean, it was introduced to reduce the kind of travel during the COVID
fill a gap.
Absolutely right. And it still feels like that a little bit, especially when you get a DRS fast that we had this week, i.e. a lack of it. At times, it's fairly easy to see why these tracks were not designed for these cars, or perhaps these cars were not designed for those old tracks. Either or, pick your choice. But nevertheless, we had a little bit of on-screen action. Was it the greatest race of all time? No. Was it better than Melbourne? Yes, just. I was expecting more, though. We had a wet race, Imola. How many times do lights go out and you see the cars on intermediate tyres and you go...
And you know you're ready for a good one.
Wow,
right? You know
this is going to be amazing. And then we get through the first lap and the only thing that happened is Ricciardo tapped the woeful Sainz. Woeful? Unlucky? Ooh, I don't know what I should say there.
Interesting.
Paul?
Shit.
Well,
sorry. Well, I can't remember. Are we doing this? This a family friendly one, or is this fully? Are we going all out? Because Saints.
Not anymore, Paul. Not anymore.
Saints no, signed anymore. A deal on Friday afternoon, and then Saturday. What a donut! He was going off the track anyway. I don't care. I don't care whether Ricciardo gave him a little tap, and then he got a tap. He was going off the track anyway.
2 years.
He was gonna. Yeah. He's a nightmare.
Let's get into the Ferraris then. You know, the first lap of the race, Carlos Sainz out after signing his new contract. spend a little bit of time on Ferraris. Is Sainz going in allegedly level pegging with Leclerc? He's clearly driver number two at this stage, though perhaps not outwardly. It starts to look like it will get like that as the season goes on. They'll have to favour a driver. Is Carlos Sainz a good number two?
He's not a number two, not after what Leclerc did, but he dropped that car after like five laps from the end. I think we saw...
yeah, true.
I think we saw Leclerc make a mistake, and Sainz has had a bit of a run of bad luck, hasn't he? He got tapped by Ricciardo. Let's make no bones. He would have got around that corner and he would have had a much better race, I think, and probably would have been there at the end. The race was...
So you don't think that Ferrari are yet...
No.
Too early for a 1-2.
They might have done, I think, it lap 10 and lap 15 and lap 20 and lap 25, yes. Once Leclerc threw it over the chicane and then lost the back of it and just showed us that, you know, he's fallible, then no, maybe not. All he's got to have is a couple of bad qualifying, a couple of bad races, and the Saints is right up there with him, isn't he? That car can win races,
in terms
and Saints
of the
can
season,
win races, right?
It's got to happen quick, though, Paul. That's the key. It's got to happen quick, or Leclerc will be given the keys to that first seat. You've got to bear in mind, Sainz beat Leclerc last season on points. Sainz came into this season as 100% equal, but what a bad start to the season. And Leclerc looks absolutely electric at the start of the season. And I think even with the Verstappen win and him finishing down in fifth or sixth or wherever it was, he still has a healthy 30-plus point gap, which is pretty huge after, what, four races. Sainz needs to get his head down. He's got to go and win a race, surely.
He's got to win Miami.
Ben, it'll be interesting to see what happens in Miami,
best,
of course.
It's the best opportunity for him because they don't know. Sorry, Dan, I'll jump in.
Yeah.
It's the best opportunity for him to win a race is Miami because they've got no idea of the track. They've got no idea on layout. They've got nothing can tell them anything about. It's got to be down to the driver. And Sainz is a very, very good driver. So he's got to get in the car and he's got to make
absolutely
it work. And he has no other choice. He has to beat Leclerc and he has to win the race. And if he can't win, he needs to be behind the two cars that potentially will be in front of him. He can't have Leclerc in front of him.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to Red Bull. So, you know, they've had different inconsistencies towards the start of the season with their engines, seemingly. However, Max Verstappen has a really strong wingman in Perez now. Perez is a strong racer. He's consistently up there supporting him that they weren't seeing with Albon when Albon was with Red Bull. Does that mean that Ferrari just have to keep tripping over themselves and Red Bull are going to walk away with this one, Ben?
Ferrari can't win this world championship. And, you know, do you want to hear that four races in? No, of course you don't want to hear that. And you know, do you want to hear that no other car on the grid is going to catch this Red Bull? No, you don't want to hear that. And Netflix Drive to Survive season certainly doesn't want to hear that. But the case of it is if Red Bull iron out a couple of engine issues, they are miles faster. They're miles ahead. Yes, the Ferrari had some good pace in Melbourne and good pace at the beginning of the season. But, you know, it looks ominous. This Red Bull looked very strong, and if they just put together a couple of 1-2s, I don't see Ferrari being there. Ferrari a little bit rusty. Bear in mind, Ferrari have not been in this position for a while. They're going to be a little bit rusty, and their drivers are going to be battling. Perez is a designated number two. He knows his place in that team. He may pick up a win if Verstappen fails to finish, perhaps. That's the only win he's going to be picking up this season. Maybe he'll be given the best car in Mexico.
He picks up a
win.
Yeah,
so it looks like it could be... Go on, Paul.
No, sorry. I'm rubbish at this, aren't I?
I think there's a slight delay between us, Paul.
Yeah, I think there might be. He picks up a win if Verstappen drops it and they're in a 1-2 position. That's the only way he picks up a win because they are not letting him take points of Verstappen. The only thing they're letting him take off Verstappen, I guess, is like the empty champagne glasses when he cleans up at the end of the party, because the guy is such a designated...
He's mind sweeping.
He's such a designated number two. He knows we'll be wearing a butler's outfit. That is Perez. Perez is
all
a
right.
Butler.
Let's move on from the top of the field. Let's move absurdly way down the field and talk about Lewis Hamilton and the Mercedes. After we've sailed past George, we finally arrive at Lewis Hamilton, who hung around in the mid-teens for the duration of most of that race. What's going on there? I mean, is he being too distracted by trying to buy Chelsea? Like, is a driver in a car that's not meshing and not gelling at this stage?
Do you know, Dan, I want to rephrase that and maybe ask Paul a question. Paul's seen many seasons of Formula One. Have you ever seen a season of Formula One where people have gone so end of the world drama about Lewis Hamilton not being fast? I'm sorry, but sometimes drivers don't have the car. Senna sometimes didn't have the car. Prost sometimes didn't have the car. Schumacher sometimes. That's what happens in Formula One. It is motor racing. You don't always get the car. You know, in the I newspaper today, you've got a whole page on why is Hamilton so slow? What?
So the question, Ben, is why is the Mercedes so slow? And why is George able to
George had
me out of it? Was it just luck of the draw, essentially?
There was luck of the draw.
George has a good race. He's a good
race. He had a good race.
Yeah.
He had a good race. And Hamilton had a shocking qualifying. The sprint race leveled the field. The sprint leveled the field and took away what was going to be an exciting qualifying race. I think if you're going to have a sprint race, it don't matter where you finish. You start the race where you qualified. So both races, if the grid is K-Mag in fourth and Saints in ninth or whatever it was, it's a different race. I think Lewis did get stung. Yeah. He should have come in the pits for them slicks but he made that decision, didn't he? He said it's not ready for slicks and was just about to get towards the pit lane. If he'd have come in on that lap and put the slicks on, it's a different race. He's finishing seventh, maybe. He gets stung with that, and that's his decision, I think, although the team should have overruled him on it. They should have just brought him in. And then they should have, they should have released him earlier. It was a slow pit stop. If he gets released 2 seconds before when he should have, instead of 4.5 seconds later or whatever it was, he doesn't get stuck behind the Alpine pulling out in front of him when Ocon pulled out in front of him. And then that DRS shenanigans, they weren't quick enough. The car's awful, but in clean air, like all Mercedes cars are designed for, it's a quick car. You put that car out front and I think it's better.
Yeah.
You put it in clean air and it's better. I'm not sure that they'll challenge for the championship this year, but it's 25 points for a win, right? But all that has to happen is he wins a couple of races, and everyone, it's 20 races left, for God's sake. It's barely started, and he's already, I don't know whether he's doing it on purpose or whether he's just got the ump, but if I was him, I'd be as pissy as he is as well. I'd have the ump as well.
Yeah, so with they used to designing cars to race at the front, aren't they? That's what they've been doing for the last for many years.
But all cars are designed to race at the front, aren't they? The wind tunnel hasn't got three cars in front of it when the wind's blowing over it. It's designed.
Maybe it should. Maybe they're missing the trick.
Yeah, but let's not forget, you know, back a couple of seasons ago, we saw Bottas not qualifying as high as Hamilton and sitting in the midfield. The Mercedes did not like to sit in the midfield. So maybe Hamilton, like you say, just the case of one or two positions here, didn't get some fresh air, got behind a DRS train. Is it the end of the world that Hamilton finished 13 in Imola? I mean, it's not the end of the week, let alone the end of the world. Like, book on. He'll be right. You know, he'll go out and put it on the podium next race.
Okay, before we dive down right through the rest of the field and pick out some of the highlights, let's talk about DRS and the sprint race. Because there are two things that significantly impacted what happened on Sunday. The sprint race Paul alluded to there, I agree, the sprint race ruined what could have been on Sunday. Because the qualifying was such an interesting event that the sprint race essentially did all the card sorting prior to then doing the main sort on the Sunday. So the kind of grid had already shuffled around a bit. And then, you know, with the lack of DRS being pulled out, you know, enabled rather early enough, once they were on dry tyres, once the track started drying up, it took a while to put out DRS, that there wasn't a huge amount of overtaking as well, despite the cars still being able to go a bit closer together, race a bit closer. So both those things impacted, perhaps detrimentally so, to the race on Sunday. However, I did enjoy watching the sprint race, and it didn't take out half a day of my weekend.
Yeah, it was
I enjoyed
quite fun.
Watching that bit of racing.
The first 20.
I didn't hate it.
Get used to it, Dan, because they're talking about introducing it to 6 next year. So they're going to be doubling the sprint races for next year. People seem to like it. For me, it's dragging the weekends a little bit, and I'm not entirely convinced I'm on board yet. I like the traditional qualifying Saturday, big showdown Sunday race, but we saw a couple of good sprints last year. I think Silverstone springs to mind, so... You know, maybe there is going to be excitement, and there's no doubt the viewing figures are skyrocketing, which means the money is skyrocketing. And I believe the FIA make a lot of money for these extra races or extra sprint races, you know, from one paying the FIA for this. So, I mean, there's a lot of cash left, right and centre. Am I, you know, in love with these sprint races? No.
Are you in like with them?
Not even like, Dan.
No one likes
it. Right,
you can't set a car up.
What's your relationship? Would you class your relationship as complicated with sprint races that aren't races? Okay, let's move on. You talked about Liberty actually, and the FIA and the media and the coverage and the numbers. Let's again. I'm going to do a little shift around before we get onto some of the drivers and teams. Let's talk about the coverage, because we had the return of the driver cooldown room.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
how good was that?
They were watching the telly. It was like, oh, they're all mates. Oh, it was great.
I mean, it far too amicable, but still, yeah, it was a start.
It was like a Netflix show, wasn't it? But I think we spoke about on our last live, I said to Paul, like, we need this stuff back. Like those driver multi-21, Seb. That's what I wanted to see. We didn't. We saw three people sat down going, oh, yeah, you took a nice corner there, mate. Yeah, that was pretty tricky. I don't
there
know what voice
that was. There
was
no Australians
but,
in that room.
Yeah, I mean, like...
No Australian,
Paul,
was it?
Like, yeah, Danny Rick, yeah, he was not in. But do you think there's going to be fireworks, Paul, or do you think that's just what's happened to Formula One?
It will. There will be fireworks. I think what people are forgetting is that it is the most competitive racing series there is, right? And you've got these guys, they're multi-millionaires, they're all living like mad lifestyles. But when they get in that, they put that visor down and they're just at it, aren't they? Unless you're Perez and, you know, you're a butler. But you've got Norris, you've got Norris third in a McLaren, and Ricardo, where was he? He was last, right? No one's giving him the same sort of grief about having a car, and he couldn't get anywhere. You know, in that McLaren should have burnt through the field and been top 10, and he couldn't get anywhere. It was track sensitive, it was condition sensitive, and it was DRS. You know, I think Michael Massey must have forgot to take the red key out of the button that turns it back on. There was a good reason for that.
He's taken a spare set of keys with him.
Yes, there was a good reason the DRS weren't enabled. It was so Red Bull could win that race. 100%. But they would have won it anyway because Leclerc choked.
Collusion.
Leclerc choked,
collusion.
Didn't he? But yeah, that was all Red Bull. That was,
I don't
that
know.
Was
I
Red
mean,
Bull, wasn't it?
Danny Rick, you know, he's going to be pissed off and he's seeing his teammate on the podium drinking some champagne. He wished he was there doing a shoey. I don't think we're ever going to see the same Danny Rick that we did a couple of seasons ago, or let alone the Danny Rick that burst onto the scene in 2014, was it, against, you know, Vettel. Vettel couldn't deal with him. So, I don't know. I mean, in terms of the McLaren, amazing to see the McLaren podium, though. Best of the rest.
I'm really pleased to see McLaren's pushing that the thin end of the wedge again. Really, really happy with that.
Considering where they were in the first race.
I'm enjoying it.
Considering where they were in the first race, that car was nowhere. And they've turned it around in three races. Or actually, they've turned it around in two races because they were pretty decent last race, right?
Amazing.
So,
yeah.
Mercedes do that. Then you've got Ferrari, Red Bull, who, I mean, you know, Red Bull have got a great car, haven't they? I mean, who's designing it? Oh, probably the greatest car designer ever.
Absolutely.
You've got Red Bull and Ferrari. And then I think McLaren, Mercedes. You've got Haas, you've got the Alpine. If they sort their lives out, Alpine will be quick as well. I mean, Alonso retired because that engine, part of the engine cover, come off. I'd have let him run it.
Yeah, he had contact, didn't he?
I mean, Red Bull on their third powertrain, that's something we've got to remember as well. So how many did you get for a season? Four?
Penalties four. Incoming.
Yeah, I think it's penalties above four this season.
He's on his third.
But, you know, you look at Alpine, they've got the money to invest and bring upgrades. Whether Haas will keep the pace up throughout the season, I don't know, Paul. I don't know if they've got the funding to be able to keep the upgrades coming. So you might see this being the highest we're going to see Haas, which is Magnussen.
Let's talk about Haas and K-Mag, because are Haas just now looking at themselves going, why the hell did we not put this guy in this car again? Like, or is it just a happy coincidence that he's back and they're doing well? Would any driver in that seat be taking the car to where it is?
Well, it's just the change of the ranks. It compounds what we said.
Everyone's going, "Oh, Lewis is rubbish because he's rubbish." K-Mag was rubbish, wasn't he? No, he weren't. He was in a rubbish car. He had a good car and he's driven it, hasn't he? Like, I, Hülkenberg, amazing driver. Has he ever really had the car? No. If he had have. He would have won world championships. It's the same as, like, you got that. What's his name? The Scottish dude who's about 9 foot. What's his
name? Coulthard.
No.
DiResta.
DiResta. I loved him. I thought he was a great racing driver. Rubbish car.
I'm not entirely convinced he was fast enough to ever win a world championship, though.
He'd have won races, though, wouldn't he?
He was okay. No.
He'd have won a race.
I don't think he would have.
Maybe not.
I'm not convinced he would have. I think DiResta's, a Palmer. Mr. DiResta. Jolyon Palmer level, I think.
Jolyon Palmer? Who's he?
Hey.
Mr. DiResta. Here
he is.
Jolyon Palmer was rubbish.
Columnist for the BBC, isn't he?
Columnist and, ex-Renault driver. But listen, I don't know. I think some drivers definitely. The Hulk, absolutely. But K-Mag, he just seems in a really happy place at the moment. And
yeah, he's got his kid, isn't he?
He's happy, isn't he?
Podium incoming, that's for sure.
Let's hope so. All right, we've got a couple more drivers I want to talk about.
Grosjean. Limited
amount of time
Grosjean.
Left, so.
What would he have done in that
house?
What would he have done in that house? Same thing.
I don't know. Fiery vehicular inferno.
Oh, my God.
Right, let's talk about Alex Albon.
Oh.
Albono. I mean, Ben is... I mean, again, it's the same conversation, though. Is the Williams outperforming itself, or is he outperforming the Williams? Like,
He's driving it well. I don't like myself for saying it, because I don't really have a reason to. I just don't like him. I can't get on board. I'm not in like with Albon. I miss the days when he was getting pushed off the track by Lewis Hamilton.
You're in a complicated relationship with him.
Yeah, I miss the days when he was just not doing very well at Red Bull. I'd rather have a poor Albon than an outperforming Albon in a bad Williams. I want him back in the second driver.
Is Williams bad? Latifi doesn't.
I don't know. Maybe he's good now. I just can't get on board. I find him not very charismatic. And, you look at his stable mates. I think we can say stable mates for George Russell and Lando Norris. They're fun, interesting, entertaining to watch. Alex Albon. I don't know, Dan. I'm not on board. Paul,
you're a massive Williams fan. Where are you on this spectrum of Albon sport?
Hey, man, if he puts the car in the points, I don't care if he's boring. If Latifi managed, I mean, Latifi didn't end the race, did he? He didn't crash. He didn't bring out a red flag. He didn't bring out a safety car. Jesus Christ, what's happened to him? First race where he
hasn't... Paul, the conspiracy theorist in you would say that Red Bull were winning, so he didn't need to.
Yeah, for real. And he knows Piastri's coming into that seat. He knows he's not safe in that seat. I think Williams have got the ability to put money into that, and I think they'll go, you know what, mate, your neck might be twice as wide as your head, but get out, you're rubbish. Piastri's in the seat, and I think that they have a two cars finishing in the points at some point this year. That's what I reckon.
That'd be exciting. So you think you'll see Oscar in that seat before the end of the year?
100%.
I don't know. I think Latifi brings a lot of cash, Paul. A lot of cash. Latifi, big Canadian bank balance. But I think we all want Oscar Piastri, the lightning fast Aussie F2 driver. But you know, you might see Latifi maybe see the season out, but I'd probably agree with you definitely there that we're going to see, I think, a 1-2 from Williams. I think we saw one last year, the race that Bottas torpedoed about 15 cars out the way.
Hungary. It was the year before, wasn't it?
But...
was it last year?
I think maybe it was last year, the year before. Who knows? It all merges into one Netflix show, doesn't
time.
It? Yeah. But yeah, I agree with Paul. I think we're going to see. I think we're going to see a little double, cheeky double points podium incoming.
I mean, oh, you said a 1-2. Right, imagine a 1-2. That would be that's next level.
He did
it?
Say a 1-2.
It's not 1989.
Latifi
let's
first,
finish up.
Albon second.
All right. Stop. We've got to wrap up, otherwise the video is never going to render to go out tomorrow morning. Let's talk about everyone's favourite number two driver, Valtteri Bottas.
Yeah,
Valtteri.
He's doing well, wonderful things in that Alfa Romeo.
Amazing. The
car looks so drivable.
Paul,
isn't it?
Talk to us about Valtteri.
I've always liked Bottas, and he was unfortunate to be partnered with Lewis for 5 years in a car that he probably, you know. He probably could have won a championship if Lewis had let him win all the races that he'd won. But yeah, we love Bottas.
That's usually how it works.
I'll tell you what, he's got in that car and he's like, people are all like, oh, he's really got a point to prove. Oh, look at him. He wants to show Mercedes what he's made of. Like, what have you done? No, he don't. He's a racing driver. He's in a car that works. He loves the team. He's the car's working. And if you've got a car that does what you want, yeah. If you put the nose in and it goes in and it doesn't oversteer and snap on you, he's loving it, man. You see him, he was like, Russell was driving really well to keep him behind. And I think a couple more laps and maybe a better DRS zone and he would have had him. But I loved him. I thought he was great at the weekend. Solid.
I think he's unbelievable. I think he's doing an absolute job there, Valtteri. But I do think that Alfa Romeo, yes, they're getting a big old lump of cash from Zhou Guan Yu, but I bet they wish they had either Kimi or Antonio Giovinazzi in that seat, because they'd be getting double points consistently. Mm. Zhou's way off the pace.
As long as that Ferrari,
you know, he's finishing a long way behind, and Bottas is just there fifth. Is that the only driver to finish in the top five, or is that Russell top five every race? Bottas, but he's there. He's in that top five. He's chasing, getting close to podiums in an Alfa Romeo. Absolutely amazing.
And it looks good, doesn't it?
There we go.
Oh,
it does look. Alfa Romeo always seem to put together quite a tidy car, don't they? Because they've always done. Is it Alfa Romeo? They've done nice things with livery as well in testing.
Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. They're
previously.
They've always had the cloverleaf cars have always been great, even the road cars. Yeah. I just want to say AlphaTauri or Gasly. Just we forgot about them and the Aston Martin.
Slippy slope.
Vettel, he did well, didn't
not,
he?
Not. Yeah, we haven't got time to talk about Aston Martin. We're going to have to come back to them another time because you could probably fill half an hour talking about Aston Martin at the moment. Like, where are they going? They don't know. Are they even going to be in it? Like, there's rumours at the moment that Stroll wants to pull out. Maybe he's just throwing his toys out of the pram because he's not having a good start to the season.
Should have pulled out
23
years ago.
Billionaires do what billionaires do. There it is. Let's move on quickly to say that the next Formula One race will be in a couple of weekends' time in Miami. The first outing at the Miami Grand Prix. So that will be actually fascinating to see how that goes, because the new track's always fun to see how it goes. We'll see who wins that. But the race will kick off at 3:30 on Sunday, the 8th of May. Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure having you back again for this video Formula One special bonus content from a Wednesday pod. Have you enjoyed yourself?
I love it. I love talking. I love my own voice. And I love Lewis Hamilton.
Beautiful.
I love Lewis. I love you, Lewis. You're my man.
He's a big fan of the show. Yeah,
Ben listens every week.
Ben, we'll be back next week, of course, with our usual programming. But in the meantime, you're going to be doing some NFL coverage over with our friends on the Shutdown Cover Pod, and you can find out all about those things on Twitter at Wednesday Pod and at Wednesday Pod on Instagram as well. But all that's left to say for this week in video, jazz hands is
bye from me.
I've been Dan.
I've been Ben.
I'm Paul. Everyone, I'm Paul. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm Paul.
Yay,
until
Paul.
Next last Wednesday of the week, be kind. Bye-bye.